family worship, we can take a little time, right? So, a couple weeks ago, I was walking down the street, and this really interesting thing happened to me, and wait, hold on a second. Let me think. No, I'm sorry. That wasn't me. Nobody? That was a joke. That was supposed to be a joke. All right? Well, the funny thing about that joke, actually, is that it really happens to me. I do that. I'll be at a party, and I'll be telling this story about something that I did, and I'll look over, and there's my wife going, "What are you talking about? That never even happened." I make up these memories. I think we have a tendency to do that, don't we? I like to call it disremembering. We have a way of distorting the truth and things that have happened in our lives. And I think that's what's happening in our story today in Exodus chapter 32. Let's look at the story again. That wonderful video helped us go from last Sunday, where Pastor Mark had us at Passover, to today, where we're at the base of Mount Sinai. What the important thing I want to point out, oh, by the way, I put there in the little Bible, I put the chapter and verses that I'm taking this from. So if you take out your Bible, you can track with me in this story, okay? Now, you see down in the left corner there, the important thing to remember is that God led the people in a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire. That is so important because God cannot be defined. God cannot be contained. You can't control clouds and fire. And that's who God is. Now, we come to the base of this mountain, and we see that we've got, this is Mount Sinai, and we have Moses and the people at the base of Mount Sinai. Now, God appears at the top of the mountain as smoke and fire. Power, right? And there's this conversation that happens between God and the people. But look what God says. This is such an important thing because God reveals God's self and talks about who the people are. In this passage, he says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possessions out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation." You see, God cannot be named. God cannot be defined. We can only say what God does. And so God reveals God's self by saying, "I am the God who led you out of slavery." That's an important phrase. What did God do? He led them out of slavery. And then he reminds them who they are. He says, "You are my people of promise." Remember the promise he made to Abram? He said, "Abram, you are blessed to be a blessing." Say that with me. Blessed to be a blessing. And then the conversation goes on, and God from the cloud speaks the Ten Commandments to the people. And then Moses writes down the covenant in this thing called the Book of the Covenant. And God says to the people, "Will you obey?" And they say, "Yes, we will." Boom. Covenant made. And then God says, "Moses, come up to the top of the mountain." So God, Moses climbs into the fiery cloud and disappears. Poof. Now we're in Exodus chapter 32. Let's see what happens down at the base of the mountain. Moses is gone for 40 days. And the people are like, "Where's Moses?" And they come to Aaron and they say, "Aaron, where is this Moses who led us out of slavery?" What? Wait a minute. Who led them out of slavery? Yeah, but they said Moses led them out of slavery. You see, here we run into the first way that we as humans tend to disremember God. We have this tendency to give the credit to the human leader. You know, I've been at Grace for 2.5 years now, and I have this really awesome privilege of doing this thing called the Connect class, where I get to meet new people and I hear their stories. And I ask this question to everyone. I say, what brought you to Grace? And the story that I hear over and over and over is they say, well, it's because Pastor Mark remembered my name the second week. And it blows their mind. And that's one of the reasons they come. And you know, that's one of the reasons that I'm at Grace, is because Pastor Mark has this incredible gift of empathy and compassion, and he weaves that into his leadership, and that draws me to that kind of leadership. He's a human. You know, many of you know that I spent a long time in the mega church world, and I traveled in those mega church circuits. Well, you know, one thing that I learned is one of the reasons why churches become mega churches is because of the particular personality profile of the leader. And they're like, that leader has vision, that leader has passion, I want to follow that leader. And the church grows. It's a person. You know, right now at Grace, we have an opportunity. This month, we have these focus groups that we're doing. I hope some of you have been to the focus group. If you haven't, I hope that you will attend this focus group, because what we're trying to do is discern where have we been and where are we going and how are we going to resource where we're going. But in these focus groups, we are faced with a temptation. The temptation is to say, how did we get here? Where have we been? It's because Pastor Mark has a vision, or it's because the vision board made these incredible risks. And that's why we're where we are. And then we have the temptation to say, where are we going? And we disremember that the truth is that God has led us here, and God is leading us somewhere. Well, let's continue the story. They come to Aaron and they say, so Aaron, Moses has disappeared. We don't know what to do. So Aaron, make us gods. And so Aaron says, okay. He says, give me your gold earrings. And he puts them into the fire and then he makes this golden calf. And what do the people say about the golden calf? They say, these are your gods that led you out of slavery. Wait a minute, who led them out of slavery? They said, these gods, this golden calf. I mean, what is going on here? Can people be that dense that in just a few days they forgot who led? You know, I don't think, in this story, I don't think it's the case that the people are replacing God with a calf. What they're really doing is they're replacing Moses. See, because it was a common belief in that day that the gods, if they wanted to travel, rode on a bull. And so they're wondering, how is God going to lead us if Moses is dead? So they said, let's do it this way. Because what's really happening here, I think, is that they're reducing God to a God box. They're putting God in terms that they understand the way everybody else thinks about God. So my question for us this morning is this. What is your God box? How do we reduce God into a manageable thing? We do it in many ways. One way that we do this is through theology. I mean, we try to explain God, and we create this list of doctrines, and we say, this is God. So we have Lutheran boxes, and we have Catholic boxes, and we have Baptist boxes. And if someone has an experience that's outside of the box, we say, I'm sorry, but your experience does not correlate with my theological construct. Therefore, I must discard it. Right? And then we argue about whose box is more right. Sometimes we create religion boxes. And we have this idea that if we do certain things, jump through certain hoops of behavior, then God will somehow be more favorable towards us when we get in a pinch. That's what religion is. But you know, what that really is doing is reducing God into kind of a vending machine, and I'm actually controlling God. But we need to be really honest for a second. We live here in the northwest suburbs. And my guess is that most of our suburbanite friends and neighbors don't have theology boxes and don't have religion boxes. In the suburbs, we create different boxes. I call them suburban idols. Because the God question is really, who has led us out of slavery? Who has saved us? And the suburban answer, if we're really honest, is we have saved us. I mean, we're Americans. We worked our tail off to get where we are. I work hard. I've been willing to sacrifice and work two jobs and make enough money to save money to put my kids to college. I have stocks and bonds and securities. That is my salvation. Success is my box. And those of us who maybe aren't there yet, look at those who are successful and say, if I just work as hard as them, then I will have salvation. You know, I think there's an increasing number of people, I think this might be a generational thing, where the younger generations are creating a different box. Because they're looking at that and they're saying, you know what? There is no salvation. There's nothing to be saved from, and there's nothing to look forward to. And so what does the God box, what does the salvation question look like? Whatever makes me feel good in this moment. Maybe it's sex, maybe it's substance, maybe it's sports, whatever distracts me. That is my salvation for today. I wonder, what is your God box? You know, I struggle with all of them on a daily basis because that cloud and that fire is too uncontrollable and I want to keep it tidy. There's one more conversation we need to look at. Let's go to the top of the mountain and go into the cloud and into the fire and see what conversation is happening between God and Moses. I mean, look what God says to Moses. He looks at Moses and he says, Moses, do you see what your people are doing? The people that you brought out of slavery? And this is a classic parent conversation, isn't it? One spouse comes home and the other spouse says, do you know what your son did today? But look what God is saying to Moses. Your people who you brought out of slavery. He says, Moses, step aside. These people, I've had it up to here with them, and they're whiners, they're sniveling, they're complaining. I'm just going to nuke them all. Wipe them out. And you, Moses, you're the man. I'm going to start over with you. You get to be the new Noah. You get to be the new Abram. I'm going to keep my promises through you. I mean, what's going on here? You know what I think God is doing? I think God is testing Moses. I mean, what would you do if you were in Moses' position? What's going through his mind right now? I'm thinking, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, hey, maybe I am a good leader. I mean, after all, you know, I kind of stood up to Pharaoh, and I'm like, hey, Pharaoh, you want to bring it? I can do it. Let's go. And he wins, right? He brings them out into the wilderness. And you know what, God? You're right. These people are whiners. They're driving me crazy. And you know what? I could have a denomination named after me. That would be so cool. Okay, God, take them out. Go ahead. Can you imagine if he would have done that? That's not what Moses did. Moses looked at God. And he said, no, Lord, they're your people who you led out of slavery. Lord, you didn't make a promise to me. What about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? God, this is how you said you would do it. It's not about me. Can't you just see God leaning back and going, all right, Moses, now you're talking. You remembered
the way it really is. Now we can get on with the business of leading the people. You know, here at Grace, we have amazing opportunities ahead of us. But we have to be careful that we don't disremember the truth. We have to be careful that we don't attribute success to a person or to the human endeavors, but remember that it's God's promise of redemption and salvation. God has delivered us from sin through Jesus Christ. God is changing and forming and forgiving us, and God is leading us. And we need to be careful that we don't try to reduce God into some kind of a box and start worshiping our theologies or our religions or whatever our suburban idols are. But that we would have the courage to look up at this cloud and this fire that we don't always understand and be willing to follow God wherever God leads us into the wilderness. Let's be people who remember who God is. Would you stand and pray with me? Lord, you are the God who has led us out of slavery. You continue to lead us. You continue to be patient with our idolatries. Help us to have the courage to follow you, even when it goes outside of the box. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.